Everyone, our next presentation starts in a few seconds, and I have the pleasure to introduce Larisa Dusabe from Rwanda with a study case of data collection and data sharing for rural water supply management in Rwanda.
Thanks for everyone. My name is Dusabe Larisa. I work in WASAC.
Is it working?
My name is Dusabe Larisa. I work in WASAC. It's a water and sanitation corporation that works in Rwanda. And my colleague is Jean Igarashi. He works in JICA. He's a JICA expert. We are currently having like a technical collaboration. So Rwanda is a small country located in East Africa, and the capital city is Kigali. We have like 11.9 million population, and our superficie is 26,400 kilometers. And the language spoken are Kinyarwanda, English, French, and Swahili, the regional Islam and Christianity. So JICA, has a project in Rwanda called Rwasom. This project aims at strengthening the operation and maintenance of rural water supply systems. It started in 2015 in April and will end in December 2019. So we had the capacity building of WASAC staff and Fomodo district. They are the eastern districts. They are the one that endured several droughts due to their locations. So WASAC has two main services: the urban water and sanitation services, where he is a service provider. He supplies water to the end users. And in rural areas, he acts like a supporter because the infrastructure are owned by the district. They are the ones that are the infrastructure owners, and they hire like private operators. We currently have 32 private operators in 27 districts. So what WASAC does, the rural department, it develops guidelines and the operation and maintenance manual for each system for the sustainability of the system, and we manage their monthly report to see if they are like working efficiently, they are providing good services. And currently we were working on mapping and management of water supply systems. So we targeted to reach 100% of water access by 2020. And as we know, SDGs target 100% in 2030. But we couldn't achieve it without knowing the current assets we had. So that's when the data collection came in for a better monitoring and evaluation of the water supply system we had, and to make proper decision, like to know where we need to improve our services or expand our network, and in planning like new water supply system projects, and also improving operation and maintenance activity. Like if you don't do operation and maintenance activity in a good manner, your system will not be sustainable. You will have to reinvest. So why using FOS4G? Because we had a limited budget, and it's easy. With FOS4G, this problem was solved, and we had the wide area. In urban areas, the target area are currently in Rwanda, it's very small. So FOS4G is more easier to expand, and for the skills also. You can get more information on the internet for FOS4G, so you can learn for yourself. So that's the asset we collected. We went from each water supply system, from the source, we featured all infrastructure components on each water supply system and their attributes, like what they were built, their equipment, discharge, all those materials, etc. So we currently have like 1,058,000 water supply systems, and the length of the pipeline are 1,388,000 kilometers. So this is the roadmap. From July to February 2019, we had a training on data collection of district water and sanitation support engineer. They are the one who were in charge of collecting the data so that we can get accurate data. And from February 2019 to April 2019, we had like offline access. Because we are working in remote areas, you can't rely on internet accessibility, and you need to have data, access to data for everyday operation and maintenance. And from April to May, there was a data cleaning. It was done by MIS specialists and JICA experts to have a database of where and accurate data. So now we are on the stage of data updating and analysis. We make analysis on to select areas that are most need to have project water supply system project, so that we can work toward achieving our target. So this is the diagram showing all the process. So for data collection, we use GPS and SW map. It's not an open source, I know, but it's easier to record attributes, like information you need to fill in. And to correct the GPS location error, we use the satellite imagery orthophoto. And then we merge data and attribute and location on QGIS, and we use the geo package by the same data structure with PostGIS. So it was very easy to copy to the PostGIS. So for offline data access, we run a script to take the PostGIS to the offline data set and then upload it to Google Drive, and the users could download it easily. So the challenge we encountered during the data collection, mainly QFIL doesn't have a snapping function. So you can't draw a network without having a snapping option. It couldn't be possible. And it's not stable for old Android. But also due to our hilly land, SW map to collect data attribute information was not working properly, so we had to adapt ourselves. And some water supply systems were located in remote areas. So we plan to have like a report that could be produced online. So the Python script, run it and produce the inventory report that is uploaded to Google Drive. And when you need a report, you can just download it. So for water supply system, there are some parameters that need to be monitored. So that's when ARPANET is needed. But it helps in planning, operation, and maintenance. But it was not very easy to create data for ARPANET application. So that's what happened. The PostGIS was converted using Python script and Google Drive. It was uploaded to Google Drive. Then the INP file and a C-shape file were downloaded to ARPANET and QGIS, where there is QWater plugin. So what we are planning in the future? From now on, we are on offline access and data updating. But in late 2019, we plan to have to use LISMAP to update the data in real time, because this one is more easy. And even editing and putting in new attributes is more easier than QField. Online reporting using Jasper server. So this is how it works. QGIS, we design layer style and upload QGIS to LISMAP. LISMAP on connection, we propose to start making the server available in 2019, and you can have it at the users on your computer or Android devices. So why LISMAP? Because it's easier to design layers in more. It's easier to design layer style by QGIS, user access control and zooming by layers. You can see, like, if you want, that's a district in my country, it's called Gwamagana. If I want, like, to do researches in Gwamagana, it's more easier, and I can get the information I need in less time. And viewing attributes, it's more easy also, and switching layers. Measuring the distance and area, as you can see, you can do it like by inserting the researches, and then it gives you the area you are looking for. And also editing and features and attributes. Thank you.
We are a little bit earlier than questions, but if you have any, and maybe we have enough time for questions and answers, so just please start away.
Did you try with the newer Android versions? Or just the old ones, but the new ones work, the old ones don't. Did you test this?
We have like financial issues, so many of our users don't have new version of Android, and you can't force someone to buy something he didn't plan to buy. It's like a bit tricky.
Thank you very much for the talk. I had a question about the procedure. If I understood correctly, the actual, let's say, data collection was done by a group of engineers which went on the ground.
Yeah.
And is that the strategy also for future updating? Is that these engineers go back, or is there any plans of actually having, say, more local data sources that might feed into the database?
Because we wanted these data very quickly, the engineers did it. But we are now starting, to train local technician how to do it, so that the engineer don't have to go back to the site to get the data. And also the new projects, they have to give as built document to be also included, so we don't have to repeat the process again.
Thank you for your nice presentation. We've done similar work in Uganda, but never came that far as completing it all the way towards IPANET. So I'm going to share this also with my colleagues from Vitens Evidens International who have worked on this. There's just one question from my experience in Rwanda. How easy was it to get acceptance for free and open source software, and especially QGIS?
I think they had no other option, because it's more cheaper. And they didn't have any other option.
Because you remember from what we discussed before, that when we wanted to do a project with QGIS there, that all the donors agreed, but then they had to ask the local beneficiaries, the University of Rwanda, and they said, well, we like the plan, but we want to use ArcGIS, and then we lost the project. So yes. I'm very happy to see that that's not generally applicable to your country, so there's still hope.
No, it's not generally applicable. And as you have seen in the introduction, we had like a goal to achieve 100%, and we were in 2018, and we didn't even know the assets we had, so we had to do that.
Great.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Thank you so much for your presentation, Larissa.
Thank you.
Have a break.